hot Lady Cayenne for my pressure. Oh, I'm the Herman, come see me. Oh, I'm the Herman, you all come see me.
Well, sometimes you have the kind of a job where you're lucky and the herb man will come and see you. So here we are in the studio. It's my pleasure to welcome the executive director of the Tecumseh Land Trust, Krista McGall. Krista, welcome back to Excursions.
It's always great to be here with you, Nikki. My goodness.
We have had many a journey together, and you don't come alone today. Would you please introduce your companion in this endeavor?
My companion, friend, and daughter, Anna Carlson, is here with me, who is also an excellent cook.
So the notion is, you guys both have a long tradition, and I imagine Krista, mother, has helped instill this in beautiful Anna, daughter. But the notion of working with the land, being a steward of the land, and also figuring out how to have a harmonious sort of give and take. And that certainly is coming to full fruition this Saturday. It's a morning workshop, a class, if you will, that helps people in our region and really maybe we'll spread this out. Maybe everyone to help us sort of recognize that there's an abundance very close by. And on that note, you guys have the studio smells like a fine, like we're at a eating al fresco in a Paris diner. I can smell pesto. There's a little bit of garlic. There's some rosemary. There's basil. And these are all things that were produced right here, basically where we stand in this in our neck of the woods. Tell me about, first of all, what if we arrive at the Tecumseh Land Trust offices at 10 a.m. this Saturday, what will we find?
Well, we will have a variety of local food ready to cook up, and we will get the participants involved a little bit, and a little bit of chopping and dicing, but a lot of conversation as well about what's available at this time of year and what can be made with that, and also how those foods can be stored. And that's a real important thing in our part of the world. Our growing season is not like California. We really have to deal with a shorter growing season. But there's so many ways that we can store food and keep it local, and that really helps to reduce our carbon footprint. It's also really interesting, the variety of foods, including foods you can forage for that you can eat from our area.
Anna brought in something that grows wild in my backyard. And I mean a lot of it, and I had no idea. I don't even know what it was.
Yeah, we brought in something that is considered a common weed by most people, called lamb's quarters, which tastes very similar to spinach. And it's easy to just maintain one little stand of it, and you can pick it as it grows. And it's delicious. It's one of the ingredients we're going to be working with on Saturday.
Would you eat it raw? You mentioned that you cook it up sometimes just in a little butter.
Yeah, I think it's good to cook it some, even if you just briefly saute it or you rub it, as you might prefer, kale for a salad. But it's really delicious, and much like spinach.
Lamb's quarters. And, you know, we'll put a picture of this up on our website so you can look, and there's every chance you might have this in your own backyard. Is from 10 until noon this Saturday. It is free to members of the Tecumseh Land Trust, and a small entrance fee for anyone else. And where's the website that people should go to make this connection?
www.tecumsehlandtrust.org. And people can also call the office, 937-767-9490.
Lots of ways to connect, but the focus of this is sort of connecting to what's right around you. Mm-hmm. Among the recipes that you've we're going to be presenting this Saturday morning, there's a lot of talk about pesto here. Mm-hmm. I'm smelling it, and it's lovely. And pesto, there's a lot of variants. If one of you could sort of define for me, what is the core of something that you would call a pesto?
Well, we've got a number of ingredients here that we've used in forms of pesto. Sometimes if you have a lot of spinach or maybe these lamb's quarters around, as we find ourselves doing in the summertime when greens like this are so abundant, it's kind of convenient to preserve them in some olive oil with a little bit of salt. And then we'll talk about storing them in your refrigerator for the summertime or freezing them so that you can use some fresh greenery in the wintertime.
Traditionally, people make pesto with basil, and it's great. You can make it with all basil, but you can mix in these other greens or substitute these other greens and use other herbs. I really like to use rosemary a lot. Also, rather than garlic in your pesto, you can use garlic scapes. We've got a pretty little bouquet right here, garlic scapes.
I've never even seen such. I don't even know what this is. It's beautiful. It smells good. Garlic, it looks like it is an onion plant that the onion started growing halfway up the stalk.
We picked these from our hard-necked garlic that we're growing. Hard-necked garlic send these up in the springtime. And if you were to leave them, then they would drop seeds from the top of the garlic scapes, which would become heads of garlic in 2 years.
So garlic scape is really a seed. It's the next generation. It's the egg. Mm-hmm. Garlic eggs.
Mm-hmm. It is, but it's edible if you pick it when it's green. You can also chop it up. And so it's got a little bit more texture. And I often will just, you know, use it raw and things.
And there's something about that spontaneity and kind of improvising that I think we're going to try to incorporate into this workshop on Saturday. I think it's significant that we're doing this together, and one of the most exciting things about the workshop, because I've been so privileged to have a culture of cooking with my family. And I think that it's something of that culture and also of shopping for yourself and shopping local that is a little intimidating to jump into without friends or parents to sort of enjoy that with you.
Almost a structure. So back to the pesto. Mm-hmm. What is the bare minimum that we would call a pesto? I think of pine nuts, but it's not. Doesn't have to be.
I'll often substitute walnuts for pine nuts. Because
so there is
so
usually
expensive.
A nut quality. So it's oil and greens, right?
Oil, greens, garlic.
Garlic.
Are really kind of the basics. We usually, if we freeze it, don't put nuts or cheese in until after we thaw it out.
Right.
And that's partly just for space saving, because it's easier to store, you know, cheese and nuts otherwise.
Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't hurt it. It's just
it wouldn't hurt it. Like yeah.
It just
logistical.
Makes that, yeah, more of a flexible cooking item. If you're cooking for someone who's can't eat nuts or someone who's vegan.
Right.
It makes it easier to use that ingredient in the future.
And that pesto, I ate numerous events for the Land Trust. We've made crostini using pesto, a little bit of cheese, you know, maybe a little veggie roasted on top of it. But it's great with pasta or gnocchi. It's wonderful on an open-faced sandwich. So it's really the kind of thing that's, you know, got those vitamins for you all year round. So it's ready to go.
A great tune by Greg Brown about canning. He talks about, come and get some summer. Grandma kept it in a jar. It's like in the winter. He's like saying, come and get some summer. Grandma put it in a jar. So this is ways that you can do that. You can connect to what's growing and vibrant and healthy and in season now and even have that ready down the road.
And I really hope that people, too, will, from the workshop, be able to feel a little bit freer about doing, even if it's food that you get from the grocery store that perhaps came from out of state.
Sure.
Or if you get something at the farmer's market that is more than you think you're going to use for the recipe you have in mind, that food does not have to go to waste. There's really a lot of very flexible recipes. So one of the things that we're going to share with people is something we call chicken in a pot. And with a Dutch oven or a pot with a good lid, a chicken, you can use such a variety of herbs and vegetables. If you go kind of Italian, you can have that on pasta. We just really hate it to let half a head of cabbage go or, you know, the remainder of celery or, you know, onions. We use them.
And most of the things we're going to be cooking on Saturday can be used to prepare, you know, the next recipe. We're going to talk about making stock with maybe that chicken that's left over or the peels from the garlic from your pesto and the rest of that piece of celery, which I do all of the time. And it kind of serves as inspiration for, you know, the next meal. And things like stock are great to have around and really easy to store for
They really come
a week
in handy.
Or you can freeze them.
And you can freeze them too. We forage in our refrigerator
so you
as
forage
well
greens
as outside.
And in the fridge. Yeah. We're in studio with the executive director of Tecumseh Land Trust. She's Kristen McGaugh. And Anna Carlson, who you've been on the gardening and sort of get it locally effort for a long time. You've worked, I think, on several occasions for the it's called CSAs. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So this has been sort of a recent introduction to my life. I've always cared a lot about cooking food for myself and for my loved ones, but I really got into gardening in the last 3 years. So I've worked with the CSA just on the outskirts of Yellow Springs, and one of the things
and remind us what that stands for.
Oh, it's community supported agriculture. So people who are a member of a CSA will buy a share of all of the produce in one season from a farm, and they share the bounty, but also the risks that the farmers are taking. But they help support that group of farmers and help them maintain the land by paying for the vegetables that they're going to get throughout the season ahead of time.
So and once a week, the idea is that you get a box of what the bounty is, mm-hmm. what that week's
absolutely.
Is
and
coming.
I've never encountered someone who's disappointed with the share they've received. I think there is almost always a bounty received by the shareholder. So it's hard to know if you're not used to storing things or cooking for yourself to know what to do with all of that food you're getting in, you know, a 3.5 month period of time. So if you're trying to eat seasonally and eat locally as much as you can, it's really important to know how to stretch those ingredients out while you have them and save the rest.
Mm-hmm. It's a very kind way to approach it that here's what's available and we can use all of it. Mm-hmm. You can find out more about this Saturday's workshop. It's about shopping local, cooking local, and the many, many benefits contained therein. The website is TecumsehLandTrust.org. That's TecumsehLandTrust, all one word, .org, or 767-9490. We'll also get you more information. This all reminds me, when I was a kid, there was a show on PBS called Victory Garden.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the idea was during the Second World War, I think this was put into place, that as a way of enriching the citizenry and also ensuring that we don't have to depend elsewhere if some supply line is broken or whatever, but that we would be mm-hmm. self-reliant, the citizens of the United States were encouraged to plant and provide for themselves, and they were called victory gardens. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a whiff of that in what you're doing here.
Sure.
Absolutely. It's good in so many ways. It's really good for our economy to buy local, and good for your household economy to grow things. Good for your mental health to grow things too.
I mean, there's a Zen aspect.
Oh, our family is just outside pretty much in the evenings as long as mm-hmm. the season will allow, and it's just wonderful. Also, we learn so much from people. Anna's involvement with Heartbeat CSA has just been fantastic because there's just so much knowledge there. People, they're 10 years old now, and so they've learned so much. And some of the people who've gotten involved with it have a really deep history in terms of just all kinds of local foods and processes. So it's a way of life kind of that is very here and now. It's kind of the antidote to the screen in a lot of ways, I think.
Am I too old to be adopted?
You're part of the family.
I want to be
Nikki.
In your family. Okay. I want to spend my evenings outside.
We'll work on it. Absolutely.
Yeah,
you
come
qualify.
Over, Nikki. And on the most base level, it's connects me to my family. It's very cathartic to go out and weed in the garden or just be outside. I feel so privileged to be able to do that. And I mean, the taste of food that you have grown or that someone you know has grown is just unparalleled. I mean, maybe that's a maybe you imagine the difference. I don't think so.
Food you grow doesn't need as much salt.
Oh, I think one of the local growers around here I know had some fresh peas at the Springfield Farmers Market, mm-hmm. and which is also a really lovely market. And this little boy was just amazed. He'd eaten peas before, but he had no idea that this was the same thing. It's just bright.
Well, you know, this long I think it's a known fact that, like, if you eat honey that's made from the pollen of the plants in the place you live, mm-hmm. it helps with allergies and certain level of even immunities to things.
Sure.
And I mean, there has to be something in that, too, that the dirt that these plants came out of, mm-hmm. you know, is the same dirt that we're that's in the wind and that's collecting the bottom of our shoes. And it's, you know, and we're sort of all in this together. And we're all subject to the same climactic scenario. So, I mean, I don't know if there's any science on that.
Well,
but by the same token of the honey, it seems like eating local plants.
I think that's a really important part about this foraging component to the workshop, because so many of the greens you buy that are shipped in from California or from another country are plants that are grown on a mass scale. So those genes are selected for certain traits in your tomato or in your walnuts. We were making something with black walnuts the other day that we bought at the farmer's market that were grown near here. And they're a variety of walnut that hasn't been selected for the fats and sort of this bland sweet flavor that Americans now like in walnuts. And there's just this beautiful dark flavor in that walnut that I could never find, you know, buying a bag at the big grocery store. And those are also higher in some vitamins. I think that there is evidence to prove that some of these older varieties of plants that have not been selected for size and for sugars and for fats are better for you.
Or travelability. I mean, that's one of the big things, too.
Right, because in order to mass produce them, you have to be able to get them out. Yeah. So the tender ones, you know, are already out.
Yeah.
It is a Shop Local, Cook Local workshop this Saturday at the Tecumseh Land Trust office there. It's actually 4633 on U.S. Route 68, just north of Yellow Springs. If you're heading out on 68, right, basically just across from Pfeiffer's there.
Yeah.
You take a left. Pfeiffer's is on the right, and Tecumseh Land Trust is on the left. It's from 10 until noon. You can find out more at tecumsehlandtrust.org. Again, that's all one word, tecumsehlandtrust.org. Or you can call 767-9490. Seems like, so just 2 hours, 10 to noon, that doesn't seem long enough.
Thank you. Well, we may do this again, you know? Absolutely. It's kind of I think a part of our culture here in Yellow Springs to celebrate local food together quite a bit. And so there's other things that are coming up as well. We've got our local food dinner at the Winds that's coming up in August 8th,
all right.
We've got our harvest auction coming up, which always includes garden consults and chances to talk to some people who just know so much more than will ever fit in my head about the natural world. There's many more opportunities. Also, just to say, I think we're going to co-sponsor a soils conference in February. Everybody who eats produce can compost. Even if you're not growing any produce, you can use it in your yard and rebuild that soil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just so important. We're blessed with some good topsoil here, but it can always get used up. And so putting that green stuff back in, that organic matter back in, is really important. And we're trying to figure out how to coordinate with certainly Community Solutions in the area has done some good work on adapting to climate change, building resiliency in our local communities. And so there's going to be a lot more going on. This is one installment, but we'll keep in touch with us. And we also just really love to hear from people who might want to perhaps try to grow a little bit commercially. You know, what resources would they need? Because we can help plug them into the people with the information that they need.
You can find out more about these upcoming events and about this Saturday's gathering of the notion of local. It's at TecumsehLandTrust.org. That's Tecumseh Land Trust, all one word, .org. Or you can call 767-9490. Again, it's just north of Yellow Springs here on your way out of town. Not even a mile. Not even, yeah. On the left-hand side, right across from Pfeiffer's there. We've been speaking with Executive Director of the Tecumseh Land Trust, Krista McGaw, and her daughter, and also a great I want to say gardener, but there's more to it than that. An appreciator of things gardened and then their subsequent preparation.
Thanks, Nikki.
Anna Carlson in there as well. So keep us posted and come back on before the big silent auction that you have. And
we'll do.
Yeah.
Good.
10 to noon this Saturday, just north of Yellow Springs. Ladies, thank you so much. And I cannot wait to eat this pesto because we're done talking about it. It's time to eat. Enjoy this. Well, and I'll give you a full report. Right. Thank you, ladies.
thank you, Nikki.
Gold Mary in the bag and tie.